It is Monday, June the 9th, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, along with Frank D. It is episode 29 of the Gerwick Report podcast. Appreciate you listening. And as always, for your pro wrestling needs on a daily basis, check out www.gerweck.net for all your rosters, results, pay-per-view recaps, TV ratings going back to 1998. And, of course, illegitimate Hall of Fame, unlike WWF's Hall of Fame. And we got a number of topics to get into. We got a reply from Jimmy Hart from last week's podcast. We're going to talk about TNA, Daniel Bryan, and so much more. And I welcome back my tag team partner, Frank D. How you doing today?
Steve, I'm doing great. It's already hot as hell, but I got a correction on one thing, my man. You got to get the F out. It's WWE.
Did I do that?
Oh, WWE, boy. Man. We don't want to piss off the fund. We don't want to piss off the panda.
My apologies on that one.
Don't let it happen again, buddy.
I'll try not to. I'll be very very conscious of that. But Frank, we since our last episode of the Gerwick Report podcast, well, let's start with Jimmy Hart because put it out there. Yeah, you put it on the line. You called Jimmy out.
Yep.
And the issues with music, put it out there. Mm-hmm. And within, a couple hours of our podcast going up, there was a reply from Jimmy Hart.
Right. Well, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Fart, decided to go ahead and, reply to my email that I sent, two or three days prior. And that was the whole problem of me pretty much verbally attacking him on the podcast is because, first of all, Mr. Gerwick here, the webmaster, decided that he wanted to reach out to Jimmy, Fart weeks, before this and wanted to do an interview here on the podcast. Jimmy Hart's people said, is this a free interview or is it a pay interview? C doesn't do business that way. So he basically said, this is, you can plug whatever you want. And he didn't hear anything back. So then I emailed him about the music issues on the WWE Network. No reply. So it took me, Steve, knocking this guy and telling the truth about him in order to get a reply. And that's a damn shame because Jimmy Hart has all these people out here confused as if he's just this nice, wonderful human being when he's really an asshole.
When I ask you to do an interview, if you don't want to do the interview, just say, I don't want to do the interview right now. I have nothing to plug. I mean, I get that from time to time. I reach out to people, to do interviews, and they say, hey, when I've got something to plug, I'll come and do your show. I'm like, that's cool. That's fine.
Right.
I put it out there. You can plug anything you want. You can plug upcoming shows, any projects you're involved in. Of course, he's doing with the Legends House. He could have came on and plugged the Legends House. But we had some legitimate questions about the music.
Yep.
And a lot of it's Jimmy Hart related music that's being dubbed out of WWE Network. So we put it out there. And if my thought is he could do a one-on-one interview with me, or if you want to come on our podcast right now and address the music, no pun intended, you can come out here and tell us what's really going on with the music. It seems possibly some shady stuff's going on, Frank, that he's not willing to really talk about at this point. You wonder what's going on, behind the scenes with the music right now.
That's what I'm thinking right now. I mean, the email that Jimmy Hart or Jimmy Hart's people sent to me personally was just basically, as far as the music went, he said that it was a complicated item and that they're working on it. So I don't know what the deal is with that. It's very, very interesting to me and very intriguing as to why these particular songs have been dubbed over. And if people don't know what songs I'm referring to, I'm talking about Diamond Dallas Page's Self High Five, Ernest the Cat Miller, Shane Douglas, The Franchise, numerous songs, Misfits in Action, several songs have been dubbed over. Can't get a reason from WWE why, can't get any information from Jimmy Hart why, and, we kind of want to know what the deal is. So that's the whole reason why we reached out to Mr. Hart to begin with. But, like other people in the past, like Slickster, they do business their way, and we do business our way. When things don't go right, and this is a podcast that tells it like it is, we're going to come up here and tell it like it is.
Absolutely. We're not going to sugarcoat anything on this show.
Not anymore.
No, we're going to tell it like it is. We do that here weekly,
yep.
And sometimes twice a week. So definitely appreciate Jimmy replying. And Jimmy, the invitation stands. If you want to come on this podcast, and address the issues of what's going on with the music. And again, Jimmy can come on this show, plug the Legends House, plug any musical projects he's involved in, personal appearances, how to get his autograph, etc. We'd love to have him on here. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, and the invitation still stands. So if Jimmy's out there listening, or somebody wants to tweet Jimmy, which we know somebody might tweet him out there, that he's more than welcome on the Gerwick Report podcast.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, I've been a fan of Jimmy Hart for years. You know, and I really hate that has to come to this situation where in order to prove a point, you have to go out there and go after somebody. But I'm not going after Jimmy Hart with any false fiction. I'm going after him with the truth and fact. And that's the bottom line. And that's the reason why he replied, because he knew it was fact.
I don't have any animosity towards the guy. Like I said, the invitation stands. So if he wants to reply back to Frank or to me or shoot us a tweet and say, yeah, I'd be glad to come on your show, you know, and talk about the music situation, talk about the Legends House, more than happy to have him. And again, Frank, as you said, you know, you're a fan of Jimmy Hart. I was always a fan of Jimmy Hart. I think he's one of the best wrestling managers in the history of the business, and we can come on and talk about wrestling managers and the dying breed of managers we don't see anymore in wrestling. So, I mean, we got a lot of things we could talk to him about, so we'd love to have him on the show.
Exactly. I mean, I don't have any animosity towards Jimmy Hart either. You know, like I said, I'm a fan. I don't like it. My thing is this. I don't like it when people that have any type of celebrity feels that it's okay to not reply to your public and not you disrespect your fans, people who have paid and put money in your pocket. I don't like that. Saying the same thing with MVP over at TNA, the most valuable pussy. The way that he wants to answer fans on Twitter because people come at him correctly about the state of the Dead brand. I don't like that either. So if people, you know, if I hear something that goes on and people are being disrespectful to the fans, whether it be, you know, somebody like MVP or whether it be Jimmy Hart or whoever, I'm going to say something
Carter.
About it. Dixie Carter. It could be Dixie Carter. It could be anybody. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say something about it, because at the end of the day, we're supporting you. You're the reason why you've been around 12 years. Jimmy Hart's been around longer than that, and we're the reason why. It's the fans.
Absolutely. And we want to give a quick shout-out, maybe not a quick one, but get the weekly shout-out to the Wrestling Jackal.
Wrestling Jackal.
The Wrestling Jackal.
There you go.
Who has been putting us over like Rover, as usual, on social media,
yeah,
on Twitter. And he's getting Natalya involved and Charlotte Flair, the new NXT Women's Champion. We appreciate the rub.
Yep.
He's been selling us some great graphics. And, in fact, the one you just showed me was he took your famous Raisin Bran and applied it to a graphic. He took the Raisin Bran cereal box and made it Bran.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we should probably put that out. That's great.
That
I know he retweeted that, so that's – that's tremendous.
That is one of the funniest things that I've seen in a while. Like, you know, people don't understand that, you know, before we actually do this podcast, me and Steven are actually on the phone for like a while. And, you know, we're just pretty much shooting it. And I told him about that and showed it to him. It's just the funniest thing. And, you know, it's the Dead Brand's fault for coming up with a name that's stupid. Just,
no, that is true. I mean, what is a Bram?
Yeah, it's ignorant. Pure ignorance. But, you know, it doesn't really surprise me from a company, once again, who was going to call a pay-per-view Fuel back in the day. But, you know, what are you going to say? What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? And then we were going to do something a little bit different this week, that we're going to do Ravon's question up front here. We're giving the shout-out to the Jackal. And Ravon, of course, always emails us some interesting questions.
Yep.
And he gave us our usual props, and he's got two questions for us this week. What was the main reason Kurt Angle left WWE back in 2006? Actually, I think it was 2005. I'm almost 100% it was 2005. I think it's about September of 2005. Had some issues with Vince McMahon. Obviously, he was not in a good state. Had some issues with substance abuse, drug issues. He wanted out of his deal. I think he realized, Frank, that schedule just really wears you out. He didn't want to work that schedule anymore. So as I remember the story, he basically went to Vince, and he broke down. He cried. He said, you know, I want out of my contract. And Vince agreed, let him go. And then, of course, he became the big mystery surprise for TNA. But I think the issues was definitely related to substance abuse problems that Kurt Angle was having at that time.
Yeah, I believe it was. I mean, here's a guy who Angle broke his neck in the 96 Olympics. And you don't recover from that. You're always going to have a prolonged pain with having a broken neck. So the guy had issues. The guy was, you know, working his ass off in the WWE for years. And, you know, primarily from what I remember, it was just basically him having these difficulties with the road schedule. And he was just doing too much. Angle should have been retired a long time ago, but he kept pushing his body. I remember he went into that match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 19, and his neck was really, really messed up when he went into that match. So Angle just wanted out of his deal. But, you know, the thing that's funny is that I don't know what TNA promised this guy, but they announced shortly after that he was coming over there. And I remember his first real role on Impact is when he showed up and he had a conversation with Samoa Joe and headbutted Joe. And they hot-sided that deal and got their biggest buy rate in the history of the promotion.
He broke his frickin' neck.
Yeah.
I think that was...
Broke his frickin'
and course,
neck.
And what was the question that was addressed to MVP? Was about the drug policy in TNA?
Yeah, somebody says to MVP about the, you know, their drug policy, you know, the fact that they don't have one. And, yeah, MVP wants to get all, you know, like a little girl and, you know, wants to get all defensive. And that's the reason why I call MVP the most valuable pussy from now on.
And, of course, we saw issues with Kurt Angle, got arrested a couple of times for...
Right, substance abuse. And it's like Dixie Carter, you know, Dixie Carter, the whole, you know, shielding these guys. And, you know, and I heard somebody say it best. It wasn't, you know, Kurt Angle that decided that he wanted to fix himself and get help with his problems. It's, you know, the guy was certainly going to jail. He was certainly going to jail. You can't do this fake fighting when you're inside a jail cell. Ain't going to happen.
Nope.
So that's
different kind
fighting,
of fight.
Exactly, different kind of fighting. fighting to protect your backside. So
that's right.
Hey.
Ravon's second question this week is, was there legitimate heat between Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar? The reason I ask is because I read they had a legitimate fight on a plane ride. I really don't recall this, Frank. As far as I know, they always got along. Of course, they're both from Minnesota. So I really don't recall heat between these two.
Yeah, I think the plane ride from hell was in 2002 that they talk about. That's the plane ride where Ric Flair was, I guess, taking off his pants. And, I mean, Scott Hall was drinking.
Everybody he does that all the time.
Yeah,
those guys do that all
the
time.
Exactly. Old shriveled
which
up.
Which plane ride?
Yeah, old shriveled up Dick Flair. There you go. And, the guy was basically just, I understand, Steve. It was just a situation where he was two guys from Minnesota. Wanted to outdo one another, and that's pretty much all it was. I've never heard of a story about them having any kind of heat or whatever, because if they did, then, Joe Hennig, Curtis Axel would have said something about it, and I've never heard him say anything of a sort, and I've never heard Brock Lesnar ever come out and say anything publicly negative about Curt Hennig. So I think it was just a real Minnesota rivalry is all it was. Who's better, and that's all it is. Same thing would be true if there was a rivalry between him and Rick Rude and Curt Hennig. It would be the same reason why, both from Minnesota.
And Ravon, we appreciate your questions as usual. You can email me, betweentheropes@hotmail.com. If you want to send us a tweet with some questions, I'm at Gerwick. I'm also at Steve Gerwick. That's the anti-NWO Twitter.
New World Order.
And, yeah, the real New World Order. And Frank is on Twitter at RealFrankDEE. So you can reach out to us, send us a question. We'd be glad to answer it here on the podcast or suggest a topic you want us to get into. So we're always very free to offer a suggestion. Now, Frank, this week we were kind of debating on, you know, where do we want to start with this podcast in terms of kind of the news and current topics. And I think one that's got to be an issue that WWE has to pay very close attention to, and I think wrestling fans in general, is the recovery of Daniel Bryan. We've learned that he's losing some strength in his right arm. And you were telling me, you know, it's kind of the same situation with like Arn Anderson. We lost feeling in his arm. This is something they got to be very careful about. I know they were talking about bringing him back for SummerSlam, and you can't rush a situation like this. You know, when you're talking about nerves and you're talking about feeling, it's something you have to be pretty close to 100% and be comfortable in that ring. And I think this has to be a major concern for WWE at this point. I put up the poll at Gerwick.net. Should WWE just strip Daniel Bryan? I don't know what the point. I mean, if he can't wrestle to August minimum, what is the point of him being the WWE champion? And I subscribe to the same idea Frank does, as far as, you know, we grew up in the business listening to the rules of, if you don't defend the title within 30 days, you're stripped of the championship. So just strip him of the championship, come up with a new format, or I guess maybe do the Money in the Bank match and settle the new champion. But I think the bigger picture, Frank, is WWE has to be very concerned about Daniel Bryan's situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword here. It's like the right thing for business to me would be to strip Daniel Bryan of the WWE Championship. That, I mean, if you can't defend the belt, give it to somebody who can run with the ball pretty much right now. And the thing that WWE is having a problem with is that, do we really want to piss off the universe? Because you already know that if they take the belt off of Bryan, it's going to be a negative situation for anybody who gets that championship belt, whether it be a babyface or a heel. And I think that's where we're at right now. I think personally that Daniel Bryan's health is a lot more important than him being a WWE champion, because we've seen many people in the past who have had situations with their neck. We've seen it with Taz. We've seen it with Steve Austin. We've seen it with Dean Malenko. We saw it with Arn Anderson. We saw it with, you know, I mean Paul Orndorff had problems like this and his arm atrophy. So it's a situation right now where if I'm Daniel Bryan in WWE, I'm like, okay, let's get the ball off this guy. Let's let him recuperate, and he comes back and he kind of chases the championship. And I could see myself, you know, if I'm running this company, I'm like, okay, the big match that we had was we wanted to have Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam for the championship. Why not have Brock Lesnar come back at Money in the Bank and win the belt, and then Daniel Bryan comes back at SummerSlam and gets it from Lesnar, something like that.
If Bryan can wrestle in
August. If Bryan can wrestle in August. That's the thing right now. That's the problem. We don't know. And it's like, I kind of think that, you know, WWE is probably telling the guy, hey, get well, but remember, we need you. And it's putting that pressure on him that only WWE knows how to do to get you to come back real early, quicker than you're supposed to. And if Daniel Bryan comes back, you know, before he's fully healed, I can only imagine what will happen if he gets in that ring. And if he takes the wrong move, it's going to be a done deal.
Yeah, we wish Daniel Bryan a good recovery. We hope he gets his feeling back in the arm. That's nothing you want to be playing around with. And you get into a sport where you're constantly being whipped and jerked around in the ring. You know, I hope it goes back to about 100%. I don't know if a wrestler ever recovers at 100%. You got all the nagging injuries you've had over the course of your career, but it does. I mean, I don't want to totally you know, put that to a side, but I mean, for WWE's standpoint, in terms of business now, SummerSlam, I believe, is the last pay-per-view that will be available to current subscribers on a six-month commitment.
Right.
And that would be probably one they want to do something with in terms of, you know, building this up. It is SummerSlam. It's usually the number two pay-per-view of the year, two or three with Royal Rumble. Let's do something. Let's keep our subscribers and then also say, hey, you want to come to the WWE Network because you got these pay-per-views. So let's build up SummerSlam. But if you don't have Daniel Bryan and you don't have CM Punk, and it looks like we're going to continue the storyline with Evolution versus The Shield as kind of the main storyline, you know, what do you really have going into SummerSlam? It's you can have Brock Lesnar back, but if you don't, again, if he doesn't have his opponent, this SummerSlam potentially could be a disaster, Frank.
Well, it's already looking like a disaster. Like you just said, we don't have Daniel Bryan. We don't have a CM Punk this year. I mean, there is no, you know, there's nobody. I mean, there's a lot of guys that's sitting out that could be doing something. I mean, there's a Chris Jericho out there. I'm not really a fan of Jericho, but Jericho's a name that can draw people to SummerSlam. And you just don't have it. I mean, there really is, you know, really nobody that's over on the talent roster right now, other than I would say The Shield and the Wyatt family. You know, and that's just like, I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, all the plans have really been screwed since CM Punk walked out. Yeah, all the original plans have really been
really been really gone to hell since Punk left. And I for one, I believe Punk's contract expires next month. And I mean, he's a done deal. That's a done dot right there with him. I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, you got Dolph Ziggler, you can be pushing. You're not pushing Ziggler, but you have him lose to Del Rio. Nobody gives a damn about Alberto Del Rio. Period. Name me one person out there that gives a damn about Alberto Del Rio. They don't care.
Maybe his wife does.
Maybe his wife and his kids. That's pretty much the only one.
And his daddy.
Yeah.
But how about this as a scenario? You have Brock Lesnar win the Money in the Bank, get the championship, and then he faces Batista at SummerSlam. He comes back and says, okay, I finally get my one-on-one shot. I mean, it's not a match I really want to see, but you can understand it. Batista quit the Evolution. He didn't like what Triple H was doing, so he comes back for SummerSlam. Okay, I didn't get my one-on-one match at WrestleMania, but give me SummerSlam, and I'll challenge Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship.
You know, that could work. I mean, it would have to be, Batista would have to be reintroduced.
As a babyface.
And this time around, you know, if Daniel Bryan isn't there and he's at home recuperating from this situation here, I can see Batista, his babyface run going a lot better than his one he came back in. And I definitely see them doing some big business with him versus Batista. Or excuse me, Batista versus Brock Lesnar. That's a match that people want to see back in the day. It only really happened in OVW, if you want to be honest about it. I mean, that's when Batista was Leviathan. So it only happened down there. It's never done on a national scale. So I think WWE can make a lot of money there with Batista versus Brock Lesnar, possibly for the World Heavyweight Championship. That would be a pretty good feud there. And I think Batista, if motivated, Batista will deliver a good match. I mean, I thought the last couple of months with the Shield, I thought he was doing some of his best in-ring work.
So what do you think, knowing what we know now with the Shield and the Evolution, what do you think the big match would be at SummerSlam? What are they leading to here?
We're probably leading to a Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, if we're going to go that far.
As a blow off to the feud,
as a blow off to the feud, but we all, you know, we won't know much until after we get past Money in the Bank. I think that Rollins will probably be in the Money in the Bank match, and most likely probably will win Money in the Bank. I mean,
I guess a lot of it will be what kind of reaction Seth Rollins gets.
I understand over the weekend at the house shows he was getting some pretty massive heat.
Well, that's what they want.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
And he's the one that he was the you remember Steve all these months, he was pretty much kind of the weak link in the Shield. You know, and this guy is getting the ball to run with it. And I think he's getting the ball to run with it just to see, you know, what can these guys do on the singles level.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it will be dictated in terms of what his reaction is. Is he getting over with the fans?
Yeah.
The fans see him as that new breakout star? Because obviously the Shield is three potential breakout stars. You know, how do they do it? They took Seth Rollins, who was expected to be the breakout star in that group, maybe necessarily. They're going to give him the heel push with Evolution, maybe get the rub from Triple H and Randy Orton. And I think a lot of it will just depend on what kind of reaction he does get. Does he get over? Is he going to be over as a heel? Fans, as you said, is he going to get that heel heat that they want? And, you know, eventually, like Frank was saying, I think, the last podcast, does he come out eventually in his suit and tie and he gets rid of his Shield gear and, you know, he's legitimately Evolution now?
Yeah, we'll find out more about that tonight on Monday Night Raw, where they go with Rollins. On SmackDown, he wrestled with the Shield gear on. So we'll see where they go with it. I'm just saying, I'm looking at a guy, and I'm looking at WWE's investment in the future here, and I think they look at Seth Rollins, the former Tyler Black. I think they look at him as the next CM Punk that they can do something with. I think he has a unique look with the hair, and you know, it's a lot of things that sets him apart, and you know, eventually I do think though that he'll probably end up being a babyface after a while. I've always seen that in him. The heel guy that I saw in that group was Dean Ambrose. I always saw him as the heel. And right now he's doing a good job as babyface, but eventually he's going to turn too. And then they're going to start that Roman Reigns push to the next level. So
you brought a good point when we were talking last week. I think it was offline when we found out that Seth Rollins was going to be on SmackDown, and you said, I would have held him off to Raw.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I would have tried to maybe really tease that on SmackDown. You tune in to Raw and find out what's going on with – although I guess – he didn't really say anything in Raw tonight, as we're taping this before Raw. Probably a good explanation from Seth Rollins, and then you said maybe this is where Triple H says, you know, we promised you the moon, we promised you all the goodies, and this is why he eventually turned and joined us, and we got rid of Batista, and we went with this direction. So we should get a good explanation about the motivation of Seth Rollins and kind of where they go from here.
Yeah, I mean, another idea that, you know, if they would have held off on this, we found out over the weekend that this idea of Seth Rollins turning on the Shield, they actually came up with this idea last Sunday. And this was just to shock people into watching, because Vince McMahon was disappointed with the low rating the week before. So this was, I mean, this was not something they planned out months ago. This is something they did on the fly. And my thing is that what really could have started to make the Shield implode could have been some type of situation where they could have had an interaction at Money in the Bank, where if they were in that Money in the Bank ladder match and it came down to them, what's going to happen? Who's going to turn on who? So that could have been something they also could have done there. But, you know, they want to go in this direction. I think Rollins is a guy here who they're going to push as this the new young talent. I mean, you got the established guy in Triple H. You got Randy Orton there, who was a multiple-time world champion. They're going to push Rollins as a new guy. They're going to groom into the next world heavyweight champion. I think that's where they're going to go with it. And I'm kind of curious to see what the excuse is going to be tonight. Like you said earlier, they promised him the moon or whatever. And I definitely do think that he's going to end up winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I like the wild card of putting Brock Lesnar in there and having Brock Lesnar win it.
Yeah, I mean, I started that right now on the fly as we're talking. Brock Lesnar coming out there and I could possibly see it, something happening between Brock Lesnar and Cesaro there as well. Because I don't think that, you know, Paul Heyman is necessarily helping Cesaro that much. I think he's really kind of killing his momentum. The moment that Cesaro gets away from Heyman, Cesaro's going to be one of the big babyfaces. They need more babyfaces because
yes.
John Cena is not going to be around forever.
He's not.
I hope not. But, I mean, the guy's not going to be around forever. I mean, Daniel Bryan is the number two guy in the company right now, and he's on the injury list. They need somebody out there that can take that spot. And it's just I just feel real bad for Daniel Bryan because of all the crap that this guy has gone through in his quest to be the champion. I mean, a lot of this stuff that happens, Steve, you know, being that this is a work sport, but this guy was not supposed to be WWE champion. This is all the fans and a movement that started this guy's ascension to the top. This wasn't supposed to happen. This was not their plan for this to happen. And it happened, but it's so much bad stuff that's come with it. You know, he got the belt. He got married when his honeymoon came back. Your father died, and now you have a neck injury, and you've only defended the championship one time. You know, you got to feel bad for the guy.
And it was against Kane.
Yeah, against Kane of all people, the demon
right.
Kane. I mean, yeah, how gay is that?
Doesn't do much for me.
I know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Dead Brand.
My favorite topic.
Your favorite topic. We finally got a attendance figure. I think it was Meltzer that tweeted out that he needed a report on the Corbin, Kentucky show. We still never got the results, but according to Dave Meltzer, there's about 250 people that attended that show. And then over the weekend, we saw, I think it was Friday night, they ran a minor league baseball stadium. And the pictures are everywhere on the internet now. where you have the wrestling Impact wrestling ring on the field, the baseball field, with some ringside seats, with very few people sitting in these ringside seats. And the reported attendance was about 300 people for this show. And I think you made a good point. We were just talking in preparation for this podcast. What is the point of running the show if you know in advance we got 250 people that bought the show, we got 300 people that bought the tickets for the stadium show, this baseball stadium show? Why not just cancel the show? Only 300 people are going to the show. You can't make any money off. Obviously, you're going to lose your shirt for the night. So why don't you just cancel the show, send everybody home, say, you know, whatever the reason was, we decided not to run the show tonight for ticket sales. Because what happens here, Frank, is people take pictures. And now the pictures of these house shows, we got the Tennessee show that we put up at our site. We've got the pictures of the stadium show that's deserted, about 300 people there. What's the point of running these shows, Frank, if nobody's going to show up? Why don't you just cancel the show and send everybody home?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, WWE used to, and I think they probably still do, they have a general assessment of how many people they're going to, you know, draw at a show and how many tickets they've sold so they can get the arena ready. And if they have to cosmetically do some things in the building in order to make it look right, they'll do it, as far as, like, maybe tarping it off or you know, just doing whatever they need to do as far as production-wise go. So if you're TNA and you already have a good idea of how many tickets you're selling, let's say how many seats do you think this minor league baseball stadium was?
Oh, probably 4,000 or 5,000 maybe.
Okay, 4,000 or 5,000 seat building, and if you're TNA, you're probably I don't know how the setup would be as far as how they do that, but my point is that if you have 300 tickets sold, there's no way in hell you're possibly going to break even with that. So my thing is just get refunds and cut your losses. It's a much bigger expense for you having to send the crew there, set the ring up. You're wasting gas driving all the way to this place to begin with. And then on top of that, you got to pay for the venue. You got to pay for security. You got to pay for everything. What money are you making? Doesn't make any damn sense.
And not to mention, as I said, people take pictures of the event, and it's all over the internet that you couldn't draw flies to your show.
Right.
So what was the point?
It was like
you ran a stadium show. And then on top of that, Frank, we find out that on Friday night, Tommy Dreamer is running the House of Hardcore shows. He runs his own little group on the East Coast, New York, Philadelphia region. And, of course, he's working as an agent for TNA. So he's running a show Friday night. He's got Bully Ray in his main event. So here's a situation on a Friday night. Rather than at the TNA show, at a stadium show outdoors, Bully Ray is actually booked for Tommy Dreamer's independent show. And then the caveat is, towards the last minute, Tommy Dreamer is contacted. Oh, Bully Ray is needed for the Spike TV TV Awards or whatever that they're doing. And Bully Ray can't work the show. So Tommy Dreamer, who is an employee of TNA, who's been helping TNA try to sell tickets. They ran a show in New York for a one-night-only pay-per-view taping. He gets word last minute that Bully Ray can't work the show, and now he's got to change his main event. I mean, what sense does that make, Frank?
Makes no sense. And
what are they doing?
They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. You're gonna pull a wrestler at the last minute. That just shows you the type of sleazy promoter that Dixie Carter is. To actually do that, to screw over. It's like those fans that attended the House of Hardcore show. And how many fans were that by the way? What was the exact number? I read somewhere it was like maybe 1,000 people, 1,200 people, something like that.
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have any national TV coverage whatsoever. They're not on any major network, and they're able to draw that many people. Meanwhile, TNA, the dead brand, they're on another dead brand called Spike TV, and they're able to draw only 200 people to a minor league baseball field. That shows you right there the difference between that product and Tommy Dreamer's product. And for them to screw Dreamer over, and it screwed the fans over in New York, that was BS. That was real crap right there. And I don't like it. And if I were the fans, I wouldn't put up with it. I mean, I would boycott the TNA show that's coming to New York. I mean, nobody's doing it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you had the House of Hardcore. You had AJ Styles. You had Bad Influence. You had Petey Williams. You have all this talent. And you have, what, six matches as usual on the TNA House show with all the major players are gone now. Honestly, Frank, I don't know what the point of would be going to a TNA House show is anymore. All the talent's gone. They don't promote the shows very well. In fact, I was watching Ring of Honor locally. I finally have a chance to watch Ring of Honor in my local area. First commercial break, Ring of Honor is going to be in Milwaukee. They're going to be in Green Bay. They're going to be in Dearborn, Michigan. Here's ticket information. Here's our pay-per-view. And then the next promo is, this is what happened on our last iPay-per-view. It's on demand on our website. Go ahead and buy it. I'm like, that's how you used to promote a product.
Right.
And for people to say, well, they didn't know about this show. They didn't know about Corbin, Kentucky, or they didn't know about this baseball stadium show. Well, I mean, you're a wrestling promotion. You have 2 hours of television time. How can you not put over your product? How can you not sell your DVDs and your pay-per-views and your merchandise and your upcoming shows? When you watch Ring of Honor, they're doing old school, Frank. It's that old syndication back in the day when we were talking about the airplane with WWF.
Right.
Or the old Crockett days where they'd have the music playing and they'd put up what city they're coming to. And they'd say, you know, see the stars of NWA, Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard coming to the show and really putting it over. Whereas with TNA, if they don't care, why should anybody else care?
Exactly. If you don't care about your product enough, if you're going to do any kind of promotion, don't be surprised when nobody shows up.
And this, I got to bring this up, Frank, because each week, TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling on Spike TV averages 1 million viewers per week, right?
Right.
At least that's what they tell us, right? 1 million viewers per week. And you're telling me that the 1 million fans that watch TNA, they don't go to any of the house shows. They don't buy any of the merchandise. They don't order their pay-per-views. They don't order TNA video games or whatever the merchandise is. And you're telling me they still have 1 million viewers per week. I go out in public. I don't see anybody buying TNA DVDs. I don't see anybody wearing any of the TNA shirts. In fact, I can't – since TNA's been in existence, Frank, I don't think I've seen anybody in my area wear a TNA shirt. Now, I see far less WWE shirts than I did back in the day. I mean, I remember, you know, back in the day, you would see DX shirts, you would see Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, etc. Sable shirts. And occasionally, I still see John Cena shirts. I still see the NWO shirt from time to time, which I think WWE is currently selling. But certainly, it's fallen off. But you know, there are still WWE fans. You see evidence of it. I am seeing no evidence of TNA fans. In fact, I'm going to put a call out to anybody out there that would like to do the weekly Impact recap on Gerwick.net, because week to week, I ask people, can you cover Impact Thursday night? No. Can you cover Impact this week? Can you cover Impact next week? No. I had the Starman for how many years would do our TNA Impact recaps, and he was doing it for a blog. He was doing it for his own website. He give it up. He's done. He's not doing it anymore.
Yeah,
occasionally, I might get him out of retirement to say, can you do this week? I'm kind of in a pinch. And he'll come back and do it. Or he'll say, I'll do it, but I'll do it on a tape delay basis. I'm going to watch the show at midnight. Is that okay? You know, that's fine. Well, as long as we get a recap up, that's the most important thing. I can't find anybody that will want to do the TNA Impact recap on Gerwick.net. If you're one of those fans out there willing to do it, let me know, because I don't know anybody, Frank, and I know a lot of people. I don't know anybody that watches Impact. I don't know anybody that watches on a weekly basis, a semi-weekly basis, a monthly basis. I don't know anybody that orders the pay-per-views. I don't know anybody that has a TNA shirt, DVD, etc. Where is this 1 million weekly viewers of the product? I don't see any evidence of it, Frank.
Yeah. You know what? I've even been guilty of doing that TNA review back in the day.
for the website. I did it for about maybe a week or two, and I gave it up. Couldn't do it. it was the show was just that bad. I don't know. I have never seen anybody wear a TNA T-shirt to a wrestling show outside of TNA.
Not at the mall, not at the restaurant, not at a park. You go nowhere.
DVDs.
I mean, you see,
never seen them. They at one point TNA. I don't know if they do it or not still, but I know at one point they had distribution with Walmart, or not Walmart, excuse me, Best Buy. And I actually picked up a TNA. I in my own category, in my own library, I own 2 DVDs from TNA. It's a TNA. It was a double pack from 2010. It was the 2 Jeff Hardy shows. I forget which ones they were, where he was a heel with the Immortal group. And then the other one is TNA's the History of TNA, Volume 1. I own that. So I've paid for my fair share of crap from the Dead Brand. And I can't find any Dead Brand DVDs anywhere. I don't find the Dead Brand T-shirts. And then, you know, I mean, their merchandise is ridiculous. I mean, I saw on their website a few months ago that they have the Willow umbrella for $40.
Jeez.
Now, I really need an umbrella in California, huh? And they're talking about a damn drought. I really need a lame umbrella. And that Willow, that's really getting over on TNA. That's remarkable. It's really getting over. I mean, when you go to the network executives, you talk about all the good stuff TNA has. You got to bring up Willow.
Yeah, good luck to that marketing company they hired.
Exactly.
What are they selling?
Exactly.
They have no stars left. I've let all their stars go. In fact, as we're speaking here, I just got the Impact rating numbers. Isn't that interesting? I'm talking about Impact Wrestling, and I get forwarded the numbers here. For Impact this past week, they did a 0.9 rating, which I bet when I do the math, it'll probably be like 0.86 or whatever it comes out to be. 993,000 subscribers, so just short of 1 million this past week. Now look at these quarter numbers. 0.99, 0.94, 0.90, 0.90 first hour. Second hour, 0.93, 0.85, 0.74, 0.72. So you start with a 0.99 your first quarter when it comes out at 9 o'clock, and by the end of the show you have a 0.72. I don't even know how they get this audience, to be honest with you. And I don't want to totally sound like a conspiracy theory. We know the Nielsen numbers have been – I think Nielsen got sued a couple of years ago for the manipulation of the data. I was talking to Frank, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. Has anybody ever had a Nielsen box in their house? I know for years when it was the WWF and the WCW, we would say – do you have a ratings box in your house? I don't have a. Do you know anybody? Does any of your neighbors have a Nielsen box? Have you ever been contacted by Nielsen to put this box in your house that measures everything you watch or keeps track of everything you watch? I've known nobody. Not one person has ever. I think one person commented one time on a story I did on my website that said, "Yeah, I've got a Nielsen box." Where are all these Nielsen boxes?
I don't have one. I don't even know what the damn thing looks like.
Well, supposedly they're all out, and this is how they measure their shows.
Well, I guess unless it's built inside of the most cable converters or something like that, I don't know how they get that, because I don't have one.
I don't have one. I've never had one. I've never known anybody that have ever had one. So who are they measuring, and how are they coming up with these numbers? Now, when we talk about Impact and TNA, let's say they get a million viewers per week. Let's say they get Slammiversary is coming up. Let's say they get 20,000 buys for the pay per view, which is a high number for them. But let's say they do it. That's 2% of their audience. 2% of the 1 million weekly viewers will order an Impact Wrestling pay per view. Now, comparison, just we're just using the comparison of the WWE Network, which is something they're really pushing. 667,000 subscribers is the last number they told us, right, Frank?
Right.
If Raw does average of, I'm just going to use a number, 4 million. I think they go above that usually. But say 4 million subscribers, or I should say viewers, weekly viewers to Raw, roughly. If they have 667,000 WWE Network subscribers, 16.5% or 16, about one-sixth or one out of every six WWE fans that watch Raw is also a WWE Network subscriber. But it's only 2% for Impact. Makes me really wonder how accurate the 1 million weekly subscribers. We saw a report about Spike TV, and Spike TV is going to keep, probably going to keep Impact Wrestling. Nothing official. But, again, Frank, what else do they have? It's like one of the top-rated shows on their network. We're probably going to keep it. We found out this week also that it's not going to be Jeff Jarrett on Spike TV because Jeff Jarrett, in his exit out of TNA, made an agreement that he won't bring Global Force Wrestling to Spike TV. So likely Spike TV will keep Impact Wrestling because of that 1 million weekly watchers, Frank. But then again, as we said before on this podcast, who in the hell is watching Spike TV anyways?
Well, and it's funny because you mentioned that Jeff Jarrett – in his exit said that he wouldn't go to Spike TV. He told this to TNA. Now, it's funny that the way it's worded, it sounds to me that he told either TNA or Dixie Carter or somebody in charge he was starting his own promotion.
He probably signed something, if I would have to guess.
Yeah. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. It is very interesting.
That he mentioned that he was going to be starting his own company, and that he said, okay, I'm not going to go to Spike. It just, to me, shows how desperate for him to sign a piece of paper like that, how desperate he was to get out of that organization, to get out of that hellhole. Because I don't understand why you would sign something like that when you could obviously easily get on Spike because of the relationship that you've had with Spike. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jeff Jarrett was there a lot during a lot of those negotiations in the past with Spike. I'm pretty sure he was there when they came to Spike in 2005. You know, as far as, you know, on the board there to get them on Spike TV. So this is just a very interesting situation there that he would actually sign something that quite possibly his company could have ended up on that network, but he signed something to make sure that they didn't in order to get out of his contract.
Then again, if I know I'm getting a million subscribers as one of my top-rated shows on my network, why do I even bother with Global Force Wrestling? Because I don't know if they're going to get a million viewers a week. I don't even know what their talent roster is going to be. I mean, we already know that they got Hermes Sadler part of Global Force Wrestling. That doesn't excite me very much.
Right.
We've been down that road already with Impact. I saw it looks like Scott D'Amore is going to be part of Jeff Jarrett's group. We've done that one already too, right? So,
right.
So if I'm Spike and I already have Impact, yeah, it's not doing great in terms of weekly top 100 rated shows, but it's my top rated show or one of my top rated shows. Why would I get rid of it?
Yeah.
So it's only, of course they're going to keep it. Is there anything on their network that's a million viewers weekly? I don't think so.
No.
So of course they're going to keep it. And why bother with Global Force Wrestling? And again, it brings up a question about, you know, where does Global Force Wrestling go? We were thinking, you know, possibly Jeff Jarrett could do the old double cross, and he ends up on Spike TV. Now we know that's not going to happen. You know, country music television seems like a possibility with Toby Keith being strong into the country music world. But, you know, you were throwing out names, and I'm just thinking – People in the cable industry know wrestling is not hot at all. I mean, you're seeing WWE down to 4 million viewers a week for Raw. I mean, they remember the days when WWE would do an 8.8 rating. And now they're down to a 3.3 or 3.2. Well, that's a good rating. I think these cable networks know, why touch wrestling right now? It's not hot, and I could just run a syndicated rerun of something and probably get the same rating.
Well, here's the thing with this. Wrestling has been hot for years. The wrestling bubble, actually, in my opinion, the wrestling bubble burst around 2000, the year 2000. I mean, everybody says, oh, it happened with WCW. Well, it was a little bit before that, in my view.
WCW was on life support in 2000.
Exactly. So it was
ECW because they were about broke.
Yeah. And WWE was, at that time, I believe the rating was down to maybe a 5, I believe, where they were doing stuff. But it was steadily declining, and it declined to the point now where they're doing what they're doing. The reason the wrestling business is in the shape it's in right now, it all goes to WWE. WWE has that trickle-down effect. When wrestling was doing good, and I'm talking about WWE was doing good, WCW was doing good, the independents were doing real good. This is a time, see, where everybody wanted to be a wrestler. Wrestling schools were making a lot of money, and a lot of merchandise was being sold. TV rights fees were through the roof. And it's like, I mean, Jeff Jarrett said something really stupid where he says that the WWE popularity is down, but the TV rights are as high as they've ever been. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? WWE didn't even get what they wanted at all. They had to sell because no other network was going to take them on with the ridiculous amount of money that they were asking for Raw. Now, the reason why I could see another company picking up Global Force Wrestling as far as getting in bed with professional wrestling is simply this. It could be considered, what did they say about the WWE? Some networks said the WWE was cheap programming that helps its network gain ratings. Well, Global Force Wrestling can be considered cheap programming, and it could probably help one of the fledgling Fox stations. I mean, we could see Global Force Wrestling end up on a Fox Sports Net or something like that, as they did back in the day with the original Impact. I mean, anything really can happen at this point. I mean, they're not going to end up on USA Network. We know they're not going to end up on Spike. We know that they're not going to end up on any of the Turner networks. Because why would they do that? I mean, I thought the Turner networks didn't want any wrestling to begin with. Now, the funny thing I will mention right now is that Jeff Jarrett, they signed a deal that said that he won't be on Spike TV, right? That's what you said. He said that he won't appear on Spike TV, or he won't bring the company to Spike TV?
Correct.
Okay. Did they say anything about Toby Keith being on Spike TV?
Well, I think if he's affiliated with Jeff Jarrett, I think he's out of the loop then.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey, the contract says Jeff Jarrett. Doesn't say Toby Keith.
Spike TV loves Impact.
Yeah, Spike TV also loves Tops, and that's not doing a real good number for them either. Nothing on that network does anything. I mean, that network has always sucked. Even back in the day when they were the Nashville network, they sucked. It's always sucked over there.
Well, they like Spike. Spike likes Impact because it's a crossover with Bellator. They can promote that as well. You don't get that crossover promotion with Jeff Jarrett.
Nobody's watching Bellator. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Nobody's watching that crap. I mean, to me, MMA is point now where it's reached its growth level. It's reached the bubble's about to burst on that too.
Yeah, we're talking about 2000 ratings. Raw averaged a 5.88 in 2000. In 2001, 4.64.
That's steadily declining.
Yep.
Really declined. Because listen, I'm looking here at the network, and I'm looking at all these Monday Night Raws. And I don't know about how anybody else feels about it, but Monday Night Raw sucked in the 90s, early 90s. That was a horrible show. And that's all that's dominating the network right now. They were showing these old Monday Night Raws. Where's the WCW? Where's everything else that was on at that time? Same thing with right now. I mean, WWE is the only game in town, and they're doing twos and threes now. I mean, that's what WCW was getting when they went off the air.
And then by 2000 they were down to a 4 for Raw, but for SmackDown. They were doing 3.5 ratings in 2002, and now they get half of that audience.
Yeah, SmackDown sucks. I used to be all about Mondays and Thursdays. I mean, everybody knows what I mean by Thursday. Thursday used to be the night for SmackDown. So Obviously, I can't miss SmackDown. I gotta watch SmackDown Super Zalona. I haven't watched SmackDown in years. For what? SmackDown's a joke. When the Rock stopped appearing on SmackDown, that's when you knew SmackDown was going down the toilet. When he was just exclusive to Raw.
You can read the results. I mean, that's the thing with Impact. You can one night you can see what the next four episodes are going to be.
Right.
Or two nights. They would say four editions. You know, in two nights, what the next four editions of Impact is going to be. You know all the results.
Yep. So what's the point of watching?
What's the point of watching them?
It's like Monday Night Raw. If I want to know the results of Raw, and I don't want to watch the show, I can do two things. I can either watch it on DVR delay, or I can just go to Gerwick.net and find out the results. Don't need to watch the damn show. For what?
It's cheap programming. Yeah, because they tape the shows. If they're not willing to make Impact live every week, or if Global Force Wrestling's not live every week, they're going to fall in the same category. It's a tape show that everybody knows the results of.
Well, I just hope this Global Force Wrestling, whenever it does make its debut, I just hope that it's not one of those like those MTV feds that they had out a couple years ago that nobody cared about.
But it was USA or whatever it was.
Exactly. You know, but it seems like Jeff Jarrett has bigger plans in the store, but he just got to stop making stupid comments about this boom period. It's about to be another wrestling boom. Dude, what are you smoking? There is no boom period in wrestling. The wrestling business is in a crapper right now. It's been in a crapper for 12 years. It's been in the dumps. And it's going to continue to be in the dumps. I mean, it sucks. When WWE decides they want to get a hot program again, that's when wrestling will be hot. And it ain't going to happen with John Cena. It's not going to. I'm sorry. It's kind of like anybody who gets in a ring with John Cena, yeah, I mean, they think it's a big deal. It's a big match. Okay, yeah, it's a big match because John Cena is the face of the company. But after you get done wrestling here, have you really went up the ladder, or are you back to where you started from?
And I saw Jeremy Borash actually said, why don't they just move TNA to London? Because they draw a good crowd. They have better production over there. So I don't see what the... Why not, Frank? They're not doing anything here in the United States.
Hey, bye-bye, dead brand.
Yeah, let them go to London then.
Exactly, go to London. I'm not going to watch Friday anyway. Go ahead.
That's one of the better ideas I've seen.
Exactly.
Why not?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and get rid of it.
Yep. Well, there's actually a pay-per-view this weekend, Frank. It's Slammiversary. They're celebrating another year of existence.
Wow. The final year.
I know you got to mention this. The Slammiversary poster.
Yeah.
It's all Eric Young. It's got images of him back in the early days of TNA when he had the blonde hair, and all culminates with Eric Young getting the championship. And I thought, well, who else could they put on their poster? Everybody else is gone.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, this poster is really full of crap. Nobody in their right mind, and I don't give a damn how much Vince Russo writes blogs and he says that, you know, Eric Young, this and Young, that. I don't have a problem with Eric Young. I really don't. I always thought Eric Young was a talented guy. Did I ever see Eric Young being world champion of anything? No. 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 Absolutely not. The guy is not world champion material. It's showing. Okay? He's not Bryan Danielson. And that's exactly what they try to do. They can deny all they want to. The whole Dixieland storyline was the authority. And Daniel Bryan was Eric Young. Or excuse me, Eric Young was Daniel Bryan. That's how it was. So it's been the whole thing. It's been a complete disaster. They're picking up some of the lowest quarters that they've ever had in the existence of that company while Eric Young has been champion. I mean, but you know, that guy who called us parasites, Maggie Magnus is what I like to call him. He had the audacity to say that when you're a world champion, your job is to leave the place better than it was before you became champion. Well, look at it now. Really, TNA's downfall started when Magnus got the belt. Look at
not
it.
Not doing too well.
Not doing too well at all. It all started with Magnus. Trace it back. You know, it started with Bully Ray, and then it went to Maggot Magnus. And this idiot has the audacity to want to call people parasites.
The dead brand.
The dead brand, right.
Yeah, they want to bash us on social media. MVP comes after us. Dixie questions us if we say it's too much like WWE and then deletes her tweets.
Right. Somebody hacked her Twitter.
Must have been.
Yeah.
sure that's what was going on. But it's interesting, Frank, because another promotion that's been around almost as long as TNA, in fact, I think they came existence almost at the same time, is going to be running a pay-per-view in TNA's backyard.
Really?
Yeah. Go figure.
I wonder who that could be.
In fact, this promotion will have probably a lot of the TNA stars, not on Impact, but they're going to be in Nashville on June the 22nd. Go figure.
Huh.
I think the name is ROH.
Huh. Ring of Honor. There you go.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to be running in TNA's backyard with their talent. Go figure.
And they're going to be at the old Nashville Asylum.
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
I bet they draw more than 300.
I'm sure they will. And Steve, let me ask you this question here. Who's going to be on this show?
The Ring of Honor show?
That's right.
I think a very talented tag team that was in the Dead Brand for a while.
Huh.
Their names were Bad Influence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're going to be on the show.
Huh. So the Bad Influence is going to be on the Ring of Honor show in the TNA building in Nashville. But they're
that
not,
is correct.
But they're not in TNA anymore.
Not in TNA anymore.
Isn't that funny?
In fact, they were at the House of Hardcore on the night TNA is running their shows.
Isn't
but they're working
funny.
For a TNA employee named Tommy Dreamer
uh-huh.
is booking their former talent on his shows.
Isn't
probably making
funny.
Probably making money.
Well, it sounds like they are. I mean, what the hell? I mean, hey, my gosh, man. I mean, if they were in my area, I mean, what am I going to choose? I can go see Maggot Magnus and Raisin Bram and Most Valuable Pussy, or I can go see Bad Influence and AJ Styles at Ring of Honor. I'm going to go see the Ring of Honor show.
What a concept to run a show to make money.
Yeah.
Go fake. Huh.
Make money. Something that TNA doesn't have. That's unbelievable, man. I'm happy to hear about that. And when is this show you're talking about? When is this pay-per-view?
June the 22nd.
Okay. So remember that, people. Ring of Honor, June 22nd on pay-per-view from Nashville, Tennessee in the old TNA Asylum.
Now, I didn't see a price, but I know Slammiversary is $39.99.
Well, Steve, I'm going to tell you right now, the Ring of Honor show is only $24.95.
$25, you can see better wrestling, a better show, a lot of TNA talent on a special night in Nashville. So I would highly recommend that show.
I would highly recommend myself. I'm going to get it. I normally don't order anything. I mean, I got the network. You know, you can't be $10 a month for pay-per-views, but I normally don't order nothing. I'm ordering this show because I want to see how it's going to come out. I can't wait to see the Bad Influence. I'm a huge Cesarian and Daniels fan. I want to see them. Hopefully AJ Styles and the Bullet Club makes an appearance at this show. I mean, it would be great to see all these TNA guys back home in Nashville under the Ring of Honor banner. It's just last year. The funny thing is last year, Ring of Honor was in the same situation that the Dead Brand's in right now when people were writing them off. You know what I mean? They were done. They had lost all this talent. WWE was taking all their talent and signing them to the Performance Center. And we didn't think Ring of Honor had a chance in hell. And now Ring of Honor's come back and they have so much momentum now. You got AJ Styles there. You got the Bad Influence there. You got Jay Lethal there. Kevin Steen. Everybody is there at Ring of Honor right now. And I think Matt Hardy there. Maria Canales is there. You got to have. I think that Best in the World show is going to be pretty good. And people don't expect CM Punk to be there just because it's the Best in the World.
Maybe Chris Hero.
Yeah, you have Chris Hero there.
To be a good influence on their card.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
A former Ring of Honor star.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, this month you've got Slammiversary, and then you've got back-to-back weeks. You've got the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. You know, if you're frustrated with WWE, as we are, if you're frustrated with TNA, the Dead Brand, as we are, you know, give it a chance. Ring of Honor's on in a lot of markets across the country. As Frank always would say, if it's not available in your area, you can check it out on YouTube.
Yep.
A lot of their great shows, a lot of their great matches. So I know we're sounding like shills here, Frank, but...
Hey, call me a shill. I'm a heel. Go ahead. I'm either she or he'll, because the bottom line is that, you know what? How many years, Steve, on the Gurek report back in the day, the old Gurek report hotline, how many years did we come out there and talk good about TNA and try to put them over like $1 million?
A lot.
Only for people like Jeremy Borash to slam Gurek.net, because you'd go out there and report the stories. So the hell with them.
We put TNA over like Rover on those Gurek report hotline reports. We were putting over the product. I mean, they were doing the Fox Sports shows, the Nets.
Yep.
Where were very much focused on the X Division. Some great, great, great shows they had back in the day on those three o'clock on a Friday afternoon. You could watch Impact or TNA Impact Wrestling at that time, whatever they were going to call it. I mean, it was a really good show. I've just started watching Ring of Honor. I got to be honest, I really don't watch it very much. I don't really pay a lot of close attention to it because I don't see it.
Right.
And certainly I cover the news with Ring of Honor, and, you know, they send us press releases, and they've always been good to me. Sometimes they send me DVDs every now and then to check out the product. But unless you're really, you know, watching on a weekly basis, it doesn't seem like you're really following it real closely. Now, As I said before, I got rid of DirecTV. I'm focused on my local channels. The local one local channel is owned by the Sinclair Company, so I have Ring of Honor Wrestling in my area. I'm going to be watching it. You know, I'm really tired of WWE. I'm really tired of TNA, and I'm looking for that alternative out there, Frank. And for guys like us that have been big wrestling fans for a long time, you know, it's going to be a show. It's going to be very good, very stiff. Ring of Honor always puts on strong wrestling shows, so if you're going to plunk down your $25 and see a really good wrestling show, I definitely recommend the Ring of Honor show on the 22nd. And the good thing about this Ring of Honor pay-per-view, it's going to be on your television.
Exactly.
It's not just the iPay-per-views where they had a lot of problems, and we were, you know, I was critical of their iPay-per-view format. It wasn't working. It had streaming issues left and right. We've been all over WWE Network. The same thing for those Ring of Honor iPay-per-views. It's like the last one came off pretty well, and now it's going to be on, in demand. So it's going to be on Comcast and Charter. I know you reached out to them and found out it's going to be pretty much on all the major cable companies out there.
Exactly. I reached out to Ring of Honor, and they got back to me in a couple hours.
Yep.
Go figure.
Go figure, right? So, yeah, if you've got Comcast, you've got Charter, you got Time Warner. I'm not sure about the satellites, but I know it's going to be on cable.
From what he told me, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be on all the cable companies and satellite providers out there that have in-demand pay-per-view. The Ring of Honor show will be available. And I hope it succeeds, too. I hope it succeeds to just, you know, pretty much bitch-slap the dead rant. That's what I want to see happen.
I'm going to be real interested to see, hopefully now that it's on major pay-per-view, sometimes we don't get the iPay-per-view numbers.
Right.
I'd be really interested to see, you know, Meltzer and some of the others that cover that, what type of buys they might get on pay-per-view. I know they don't have Spike TV, but they do have their Sinclair channels that promote their weekly shows. I think that I could easily see Ring of Honor's show outdraw Slammiversary.
If Ring of Honor's show outdraws Slammiversary and TNA has Spike TV backing them, that really shows you where that product is at.
And again, it makes me question, do they really have 1 million weekly viewers?
I honestly see it's like this. If they did, where are they? If they had 1 million weekly viewers, TNA would not have money problems. Because people would be buying the merchandise. People would be buying the DVDs. People would be going to these buildings that TNA are at. Those million people are imaginary in their mind.
It's hard for me to imagine. You watch something for 52 weeks, probably about the same million people watch every week, and nobody buys anything.
Yeah.
Nobody buys a T-shirt. Nobody buys a DVD. Nobody orders the pay-per-views. Nobody orders the pre-taped, what do they call them, one-night-only pay-per-views?
Yep.
Nothing. And yet they still have the same audience. That's pretty amazing to me. So, and again, if you're out there and you're an Impact fan and you would like to cover Impact Wrestling for Gurek.net, we'll give you full credit. You can get your name out there. You can plug your Twitter, your Facebook, whatever you want to do, let me know. Email me, tweet me, Facebook me, whatever you got to do. Let me know you'd be interested in covering Impact Weekly. Because I tell you, from week to week, Frank, it's a struggle to find anybody. In fact, the last couple of weeks, I've actually borrowed another website's report because nobody's doing it on our side. I can't find anybody.
That's
I can't find.
That's a shame.
Here's the thing. The people that cover wrestling don't want to watch the show.
That
makes me really question how they have a million viewers.
Yeah,
a week.
That says a lot right there. You can't find anybody. You can't pay them.
Anybody
to watch Impact.
Nobody. Nobody wants to watch Impact.
Impact
and
comes
again,
on the air. Impact comes on the air. You just turn the damn TV.
Again, if you want your name on Gerwick.net, your Twitter handle, your Facebook, whatever, if you want that on Gerwick.net and you're willing to watch Impact on a weekly basis and file reports for us, reach out to me because, brother, I need you. And we've gone through a number of people that have done it, you know, here and there. I'll ask somebody, I'll do it this week and then maybe not next week. And trying to fill out 52 weeks is almost impossible now for me. In fact, the last few weeks, I've found nobody. It's that usual, you know, Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes. Can you cover Impact tomorrow night? Can I cover Impact? You know, I ask Atlee Green a lot of times, and he does the body slam, and he does it when he can. But I don't think he's going to go out of his way to check out Impact Wrestling.
Wow.
So if you want to do it, by all means, let me know. I really, really question how they have a million weekly subscribers, and yet nobody buys anything in TNA. In fact, if you see... Maybe that we make a mission. You know, the Jackal always sends us stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you out there in public, if you will, if you're out there in public, you're at the mall, you're at a sporting event, you're at a library, you're at the grocery store, wherever you are, and you spot somebody wearing a TNA shirt, send us a picture. Because I'd like to see them, Frank. I don't even know what a TNA shirt looks like. I don't go to the Shop Zone on TNA or whatever their equivalent would be. I never buy anything. In fact, you know, in the day when we were pro TNA, I guess, and that we were putting out a lot of positive TNA sentiments, they would send me stuff like left and right. I would get T-shirts, posters, DVDs, and of course, a lot of them I gave away because they were promotional things, and I give back. You know, they send me stuff, and I just give it to the fans and win a contest or, you know, do something on the hotline back in the days. If you want this product, you let me know. Do a contest. But they don't send us anything, and I don't even know what they have anymore. But if you are out there, here's a challenge. If you're out there in public and you're listening to this podcast and you have a smartphone that takes pictures or you have a portable throwaway $10 cheapie, send me a picture of somebody wearing a TNA T-shirt. I'm not talking about the TNA live events. Because I would think, Frank, if you go to a live event, you should be able to find a TNA shirt.
Right.
But I'm talking Joe Schmo in public. When you're on the bike trail or you're at the gym and you see somebody wearing a TNA shirt, take a picture and send it in. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
And so that's our challenge out there.
You're going to be waiting on that one.
And I'm also waiting on anybody who wants to cover Impact on Gerwick.net.
You're going to be waiting on that one, too.
So we'll see what kind of response we get between now and the next podcast. But I'm not holding my breath.
Nobody buys their stuff. Man, that's why Don West was giving it away at one point.
Absolutely. And I also want to mention before we close here, Frank, Jim Ross – in retirement, seems to be working just as much as he did when he was with WWE.
The busiest retiree I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he just did a boxing event for Fox Sports, and he's doing a weekly podcast, or I think it's weekly. I'm not sure exactly on the schedule. But we learned that Jim Ross was in a hospital, stroke-like conditions. I know somebody asked him on Twitter, did you have a stroke, and he said no. Although it may have not been diagnosed originally. But whatever the condition might be for Jim Ross, I wish him a speedy recovery because, I mean, he's the best there is.
Yeah, he really is. Nothing but the best for Jim Ross. And whatever situation he has going on health-wise, I never want to hear anything bad about anybody, especially JR.
Absolutely. And again, that's going to be our podcast for today, episode 29 of the Gerwerk Report podcast. Definitely follow www.gerwerk.net, gerwerk.net, for all your wrestling news, rumors, breaking stories, Raw coverage, and Impact coverage if I can find somebody. Of course, our challenge stands. Anybody can find a TNA t-shirt in public? In public, if you will, send us a picture. We're on Twitter, Gerwerk. Gerwerk Report is our Twitter page. Frank D-E-E, or actually it's Real Frank D-E-E. Steve Gerwerk on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Steve Gerwerk and Gerwerk.net. And as always, Frank, pleasure talking to you. Another great edition in the books.
Absolutely. And by the way, people out there, if you just want to send us pictures of TNA shows and their bad attendance, just, you know, send those as well. I like to have a good laugh nowadays. So just send those pictures to us, because the pictures the other day of the stadium show were just, they were funny as hell. I mean, I just have a great laugh.
Yeah, cue the Benny Hill music. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. You know, just
and no knock. Let's get this right before we go here. No knock against the TNA talent, except for MVP and Bram. But no knock against the talent and Maggot Magnus. No knock against the talent. It's the company itself. Okay,
yep.
And I can't wait to have the WWE Network here, and it says In the Vault, and it says TNA Wrestling on there.
Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe.
Right.
On the network.
On the network, there you go.
Coming soon.
To a household near you.
Gerwerk.net, GERWECK, 24/7.